a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning. The South Dakota House of Representatives Ag and Natural Resource Committee is now in session. Thank you very much for coming. And first order of business, the secretary will call the roll of our members.
Representative Bartling.
Here.
Kamak.
Here.
Craig.
Here.
Fikert. Kopp.
Here.
May.
Here.
Olson.
Here.
Otten.
Here.
Qualm.
Here.
Shanefish.
Here.
Shrimp.
Here.
Schaefer.
Here.
Hoffman.
Here.
Mr. Chair, there's a quorum.
Thank you very much. Quorum is present. Approval of the previous minutes, I'd like a motion for that, please.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carried. Thank you. I'd like to introduce just a few people this morning, and I think most of you know Representative James Schaefer. He's the vice chair of this committee, and when I'm not here, he'll be taking over and do a fine job at that. Also, the LRC staff, Tom Manganese, is here with us this morning. Our committee secretary is Joshua Klum to my right. And my intern in this House Ag Committee's intern is Keenan Watson, who is in the back in the corner right back over there. And he's at our service for anything we need that might be outside of the realm of a normal committee hearing. And he's done a very good job so far. I'd like to introduce, I don't see them right now. They're not here, but when they do come in, I'll have them come up to the microphone and introduce the pages this morning. I do not know right now who they... He's getting a book for someone. Just a couple things to remember. And in the committee process in the state of South Dakota, which is unique compared to the federal government, every bill that's brought to the committee, every bill that brought to the session is heard. So we cannot hide anything. This is the public's house. This is the people's house. And I would love for everyone to be here by 7:45 because we will crack the whip as soon as 7:45, within a minute of that happening, according to the wall clock in this committee. Debate will be respectful for everyone. I don't think we'll have any problems with that. And other than that, all questions in the committee, for the purpose of not making any personal digression into a one-on-one diatribe, all the questions will go through me from the committee testifiers, and we will have representatives called, or Mr. and Mrs., no first names, please, and that will keep this a little bit more professional for future when we do get into some bills that are going to be hotly contested. I see our House page is here this morning. Could you come up to the microphone and tell us where you're from, maybe a little something interesting about yourself? That's on all the time, I believe.
I'm James Geppert from Chamberlain.
I go to Chamberlain High School.
Thank you very much, Mr. Geppert. Pleasure to have you here. I hope you this inspires you to become involved in the political process in the future. Thanks again. Remember, everyone on this committee who wants a folder, please let the secretary know so we can get you one. If you're going wireless, I'm going to try it. Hopefully my computer stays up. If not, I'm going to have to cheat, and the vice chair is going to help me out. With that, we've got a lot of bills coming before this from the oil study this summer, and I believe what the oil study committee is trying to do is mimic the state of North Dakota's statutes so that in case we have recoverable oil and they decide to move into our state, that it's a seamless transition and that they don't have to go through an enormous amount of legal work to find our state very, very, very habitable for their oil rigs. I'm thinking someday that could happen. But with that, we had about 10 bills that pertain to surface rights, mineral rights, mineral rights owners that couldn't be found. And we've got four bills that are scheduled for this morning. But I want you all to know that House Bill 1003 is going to be, I'm going to push that off until Thursday because we don't have the wording correct and we're trying to get that mediation language perfect so that we have that. So Thursday also, just so everyone knows, we're going to be having the game fishing or the Department of Ag here for their presentation and the Department of Natural Resources, and we'll carry that 1003 bill that day. That's the only bill we'll work on Thursday. So with that, we'll get into the bills, and the first bill on the docket this morning is House Bill number 1001. The prime sponsor on that is Representative Olson, Betty Olson. And Betty, the floor is yours.
Hey, Representative Betty Olson, District 28B, and I'm bringing House Bill 101. It's came out of our Oil and Gas Development Committee this summer, and it's a very simple little bill. All it does is require mineral developers to give notice to surface owners before entering their land, so we don't look out and see some truck driving around in our pasture and we have no idea who it is or what they're there for. I understand that there is a friendly amendment coming from the DENR, and I will stand by for questions.
Thank you, Representative Olson. Before we get to the amendment, are there any other proponent testifiers here this morning? I don't know of any opponent. If there are any opponent, if there are no proponent other than Representative Olson, are there any opponent testifiers this morning? Any opponent testifiers? Seems we may move right into that amendment. Secretary Perner? This is the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Steve Perner, Secretary of the Department of Environment and Natural Resources. We can support House Bill 1001, but would offer a friendly amendment to better clarify the bill. That amendment is being handed out. The number is 1001TA. What that amendment does is first of all, on page 1, line 9, where it says, expiration activities that do not disturb the surface, the amendment proposes to add inserting, such as surveying and well staking, simply to trying to define what expiration activities that do not disturb the surface are. The second part of the amendment, on page 2, lines 5 and 10, we would delete chapters 45-9 and insert 45-5A. We believe that those two sections would better fit in the chapter of the oil and gas laws that deal with compensation to surface owners. And then the last part of the amendment is to add a new section. We would propose to take an existing section of law from 45-5A, Section 5, and that talks about a 30-day notice. What we would propose to do is amend that existing law to say that 30-day notice applies to surface-disturbing activities, and in the amendment, we describe that as being well-site construction, road building, grading, excavation, demolition, and related activities. So really, the purpose of our clarifying amendments is to make sure that the distinction between the 30-day notice for surface disturbing mineral exploration activities is clear versus the 7-day notice that's specified in Section 1 of the bill for non-disturbing surface or exploration activities. With that, Mr. Chairman, I would stand by for any questions.
Thank you. Would someone on the committee move this amendment?
So,
Representative Kamak?
So
second.
Moved.
Second.
Thank you. We're in the discussion phase of this, and if there are any questions, now would be the time to ask Secretary Perner any questions from the committee on this amendment. It seems to be quite forward. I think it's easily makes it more addressable by the landowners who do have those problems. If there aren't any questions, no one has any problems with it. I think this is just a voice vote on an amendment. All in favor of House Bill 1001, Amendment TA, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carried. Thank you. This House Bill 1001 has been amended with TA involved in it. Any other discussion on this? Any other questions? Yes, Representative Kopp. Motion was made by Representative Kopp and seconded by Representative Shrimp. Any discussion on that? No discussion. The secretary will take the roll call. Those in favor will say aye. Those against this will say nay. Thank you.
Representative Bartling.
Aye.
Kamak.
Aye.
Craig.
Aye.
Bikert.
Aye.
Kopp.
Aye.
May.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Qualm.
Aye.
Schoenfisch.
Aye.
Shrimp.
Aye.
Schaefer.
Aye.
Hoffman.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, there are 13 ayes.
So, House Bill 1001, duly noted, has passed and will be taken to the floor and explained to caucus in the Republican caucus by Representative Olson and Representative Shrimp, if you'd like to explain this to your caucus as well. Thank you very much. Thank you. Yes, Representative Kopp. A motion has been made to move consent. Do I have a second? Second by Representative Olson. Any disagreement with that? Any objections? If not, that's a voice vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Post same sign. We have 1001 on the House floor with consent. Sorry you don't get to speak on it, Representative Olson. I'd have loved to have allowed that opportunity. As I stated earlier, House Bill 1003, due to some technical uplifting writing coming from, I believe, the Department of Natural Resources, Department of Ag, will be scheduled and coming up on Thursday. Next bill up this morning is House Bill 1006, and that bill is being brought to us this morning by the chair of the Summer Oil Study, Representative Solem.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the Ag
morning.
Committee.
Good morning.
Representative Hoffman decided to get me up early this morning, which is fine. Representative Olson and the chairman gave a brief introduction as to the purpose of our oil and gas summer study. And if I could expand on that just a little bit, I chaired that summer study, and we had a lot of conversation. It was almost to the point of overload, and a lot of testimony from the good folks out in Harding and Perkins County. The welcome to their area when we took our committee out into that region was just overwhelming, and we certainly appreciate that. Also, our committee had the opportunity to travel to North Dakota to look at what's happening up there in, you might say, what they call the oil patch up over the Bakken Formation in the Williston area and so on. And what we were trying to do is to see, as the chair had suggested a bit earlier, how we could maybe offset some of those potential problems that the state of North Dakota has seen over the past few years. And what can we do here in South Dakota to make us a better place for oil and gas exploration. We want it. However, in conjunction with that, we want to make sure that we're good stewards of the land and we take care of those surface owners, as evidenced by Representative Olson's bill that you just heard previously. We also heard from a number of state agencies. We've heard from DENR, public safety, revenue, and how what we do as our committee would interact with state government. As a result of our committee work, there were originally about 17 pieces of suggested or recommended legislation brought by our committee, and one of the last things we needed to do in our committee and committee work was to whittle that down and decide what we wanted to bring to this legislature in the form of legislation during this session. And what we ended up with is some 8 bills that we chose to move forward. Some of those pieces of legislation, as in the one that was just moved to next Thursday, we're still in discussions, and some of that information or some of the policies that we may have wanted to introduce as statute, we're finding that it can be done via rulemaking in our various departments. So, you know, we're still pretty fluid on this legislation. So as we move through this, just please stay flexible. Excuse me. House Bill 1006 is one of those pieces of legislation for your consideration. And 1006 deals with just one small item of a topic of our discussions over the past summer. And it deals with mineral interests. Now, we have to understand that we talk about mineral interests or mineral rights much like we do surface ownership or real estate, okay? And if you think of owning 80 acres of surface land, you are the owner, and you can do with that land, you know, within reason, what you so choose. Mineral rights work very much the same way. You are the owner of those minerals. It could be below that same 80 acres if the surface owner doesn't happen to own those. This bill addresses how a surface owner or some other party may reclaim mineral rights should they not be attached to the surface right designation. And what House Bill 1006 will do, well, let me back up. Before a developer can move on to, say, your 80 acres, they need to know who has title to that property. And through generations of ownership, grandfather owned the mineral rights and possibly the surface rights as well. Grandfather may have sold off his mineral rights at some point in time to another party. That other party, maybe it was the chairman's great-grandfather happened to purchase those mineral rights, and great-grandfather had 6 children, and so grandfather was one of those 6, and so each one of those siblings had 6 more children, and so you can see how these mineral rights could get completely separated from the land. Now, at some point in time, those mineral rights and ownership may lose identity as far as a person's name on that. So what House Bill 1006 will do is clarifies that portion of state statute that deals with those interests and clarifies the procedure in which, and one of the key words that you'll read in the bill is clarifies the procedure through due process, and that it clarifies the way in which we would need to, or the procedure that we would have to go through in order to regain ownership or lay claim to those mineral interests. And the due process is essentially described in the bill as changes to the current statute noted on page 3, as well as new sections of the state statute in pages 4 and 5 of the bill. And it calls for reasonable inquiry. And it lays out the steps for reasonable inquiry. And in today's world, with the internet and searchable databases all over the place, reasonable inquiry then, as it states in the bill, includes some of those searches. So we can certainly try to find the true ownership of those mineral interests. And then eventually try to quiet that title for all of those mineral interests. as a final comment, you know, this bill only clarifies the procedures necessary to identify and assign ownership should all other forms of mineral rights ownership identification be exhausted. And with that, Mr. Chair, I will stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Representative Solem. We certainly may have more proponent testimony. If we do, any proponent testimony? Any proponent? Any opponent? Opponent? Are you a proponent on this bill?
Yes.
Please come forward.
Good morning.
Good morning.
David Nemi from Harding County. I'm in an area where oil activity has been a long, long time, and severed minerals has always been quite an issue. And this bill here could be quite helpful in folks trying to secure those mineral interests back tied to the surface. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mimi. Appreciate having your comments. We're still on proponent testimony. I jumped a little too early to opponent. Any other proponent testimony? If there isn't any, we'll move to opponent testimony. Any opponent testimony? Any opponent testimony? Having no opponents, I'll open it up to any questions from the committee for anyone in the room on this bill. Yes, sir. Representative.
I have one question for Representative Solem.
I think this
is a good bill. I don't have any issues with it. I just had one question as it pertains in Section 2, Paragraph 3, sentence between 21 and 24.
Mr. Chair.
My question would be, why would we allow someone who is not an owner or had joint tenantship to file a statement of claim? This here, it says, a statement of claim filed after July 31st, 2013 by a person other than the owner of record of the mineral interest is not effective to preserve a mineral interest unless accompanied by a reference to the name of the record holder. Is there something that I'm just missing and it's referred to somewhere else?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative.
You may have an interest, but you may not be a surface owner. And in the example that I laid out, you may be an heir to mineral interests and not necessarily be the surface owner. And we had a number of examples laid out during the committee process where, as I suggested, there may be a grandchild or great-grandchild of the original purchaser or owner of those mineral interests who, quite frankly, may have left the area and moved to California and was never married and no children. And if that person passes away, all of a sudden we just lose visibility of who owns that 1/16th part of that mineral interest. And so this hopefully helps clarify how we would go back and finally identify who the rightful owner of those mineral interests are. In that particular case, then, the surface owner is someone other than the mineral interest owner, and this would be one way for that 1/16th piece of mineral interest could be reclaimed by the surface owner. Does that help clarify?
Mr. Chair? Yes, Representative Herman.
I believe so. Just the question is that doesn't open the door for somebody other than an heir to file the claim, then, does it?
Mr. Chair.
Representative.
They would have to have a legitimate claim to that. No, you're not going to find someone off the street walking around and searching records looking for those fractured interests. I mean, this is a procedure to make those flow back to the surface owner, so the funnel goes back up accordingly.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, I'd have a question for Representative Solem. I was wondering, if I was a developer, what percent of these mineral rights do I have, you know, that I have to ascertain before I can start? With it being fragmented, do I have to have 50% or all of them?
Mr. Chair.
Representative.
100%. That developer, when they're or as close to 100%, but the developer, and this is part of the whole process, how can we encourage development? And one of the hindrances is they're having difficulty identifying all of the owners. A developer would certainly like to have 100% of those mineral interests identified, because when they start drilling or producing, they have to know where the revenue is going to flow, and if they don't have them all identified, they're in question.
Thank you. Any other questions? Any other questions from the committee for anyone? Hearing no other questions, any actions that we wish to put forth on this bill? Representative Olson.
Will
you pass? Oh, I'm sorry. Can we take that back? We do have an amendment. We have an amendment, and it's a very friendly amendment, and it only changes a few words, so we didn't have a second on that. Before we get to the second, we'll remove that, but we'll bring you right back in as soon as we have this amendment, Representative Olson.
It's a technical amendment. On page 4 and 5, there are four places where the bill refers to district court rather than circuit court. In South Dakota, the proper term is circuit court, and the amendment would change district to circuit.
Does everyone understand that? It's just a word change. It actually means the same thing, only in North Dakota they use one word. In South Dakota, we use another word. Everyone understand the amendment? I would entertain a motion. So moved by Representative Qualms. A second on this?
Second.
Second by Representative Kamek. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The amendment passes. And we have now an amended bill that we have a motion on the floor to pass by Representative Olson, and a second by Representative Kopp. Sorry. So the motion is do pass on House Bill 1006, and the Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Bartling.
Aye. Mm-hmm.
Mack.
Aye.
Craig.
Aye.
Fikert.
Aye.
Kopp.
Aye.
May.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Qualm.
Aye.
Shanefish.
Aye.
Shrimp.
Aye.
Schaefer.
Aye.
Hoffman.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, there are 13 ayes.
House Bill 1006, do pass, will go to the floor, and I don't believe I'm going to allow a consent on this. It needs to be explained, and I believe, Representative Solem, you do a very good job. You've explained it well this morning. Would you please take that on the floor?
I'd be honored.
Thank you. Representative Shrimp, if you would, please take that to your caucus and explain what we're doing and why. Thank you very much. Next up on the docket, I'm going to announce this, that after we're done with 1058, we have two West River ranchers who've driven an enormous amount of distance to come here to testify on House Bill 1003, and I'm going to allow them to come up, give us a 5-minute each of them, and we'll be able to talk to them. You can make some notes, so when we do go into 1003 on Thursday, take into consideration their testimony, but I don't want to break up the role that we're into right now. So what we will do is remember that, and we're going into House Bill 1058, and if I can get my computer screen to work here, I've lost something. Okay. House Bill 1058, the Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources, and at the request of the Department of Agriculture, this is a repealer bill, which, as you can look through this, It is striking an enormous amount of language, making our laws more concise. And we do have our state veterinarian, Dr. Oda Coven, here to tell us about. Dr. Oda Coven, you have the floor, sir.
Okay, great.
The hot seat, so to speak.
I wasn't sure if I was going to start here. Okay. Are we on here? Okay, great. And good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Dustin Odekoven. I'm your state veterinarian and executive secretary of the Animal Industry Board. And I have the privilege of serving in this capacity at a time when the status of our animal health in our state is probably at an all-time high. And, of course, due to a number of things, modern technologies and animal health products, better management, better husbandry, and just a long-time commitment on behalf of the on the part of the livestock industries in bettering the health of our livestock populations. And so with that background, it was a welcome opportunity to respond to the governor's better government initiative, the red tape review, and take a good hard look at our animal health laws, which have not been comprehensively reviewed and revised since 1990. And so since that time, many of the diseases which we had been dealing with that were of concern and of significant enough concern that we had laws regulating them have now been eradicated, either from the state or in some cases from the nation. And so we would, upon finding those diseases today, handle them quite differently than we would have at the time that those laws were written. We would treat some of them as foreign animal diseases and take much more strict action against them. So the revisions in this repeal repeal outdated sections of South Dakota animal health laws, revise terminology wherever necessary. Specific disease control laws, in some cases, are being repealed. They've been duplicated in administrative rule. As you know, the Animal Industry Board has some rulemaking authority, and in cases where it's been necessary, have enacted rules to address these diseases, and those rules can be modified through the rulemaking process when necessary to address those specific diseases of concern. I would point out that two specific sections of chapter 40 we did not change, and that was the chapters dealing with animal cruelty and humane societies. And specifically, we didn't mess with those sections because of a large effort undertaken by the livestock industry, local law enforcement, state's attorneys, and others in 2010 to really take a hard look at those rules. And the consensus of the group at that time was that our rules regarding animal health, our laws regarding animal welfare, cruelty, and humane societies were adequate, and that and the recommendation was they not be changed at that time. So with that in mind, no changes were made to those two sections. So, Mr. Chairman, my staff and I have worked carefully in these revisions over the past year. We've reached out to many of the commodity groups and the agricultural groups. We feel we have broad support for these. The Animal Industry Board, which, as you know, is a seven-member producer board that's appointed by the governor, has approved of these changes. And I would stand by for questions if the committee has any.
Thank you very much, Dr. Oda Coven. I have this share the same feelings about our Animal Industry Board and the wonderful job our livestock owners do with taking care of our animals in the state. Any other proponent testifiers for House Bill 1058?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
Good morning.
My name is Courtney De La Rosa, and I represent the South Dakota Department of Agriculture. We're here to support this bill. As part of the governor's Better Government Initiative, the Animal Industry Board identified 139 sections of law and more than 10,000 words to be removed. This is a great bill. It really helps the Animal Industry Board and our producers better understand getting these laws up to date, getting rid of what's obsolete. And the last major revision was in 1991. So, again, this is a great bill, and we urge your support for House Bill 1058. And I will also stand by for questions.
Thank you very much, Courtney. Miss De La Rosa, sorry. Other proponent testimony.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Brenda Foreman. I am registered lobbyist for South Dakota Cattlemen's. And as one of the groups that Dr. Oda Coven has come and visited with early on about this, gone through the procedures, we really do support the cleanup, the measures that they have taken, and appreciate their involvement of us in the process. So we would encourage your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Foreman. Any other proponent testimony?
Good morning, Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Jeremiah M. Murphy from Rapid City, South Dakota. I'm the registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Stock Growers Association, and I will, as briefly as I am capable, say that we support this bill. We support Dr. Odekoven's efforts in this regard. It's not just that this is a substantial trimming of the statutes, but we believe it's an intelligent trimming of the statutes, and we look forward to continue to working with Dr. Odekoven on these efforts and would appreciate your support of the bill today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Murphy. Any other proponent testimony?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, committee members. Bob Ryder. I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Livestock Auction Markets. And we likewise had the opportunity to confer with Dr. Overcoden and on this measure in advance of the legislative session, and think he's done a good job, and we appreciate the efforts, frankly. Plus, this is a good time, it looks like, to appear in front of this committee and get on the right side of a bill. So it looks like it's heading in the proper direction, so I wanted to make sure I echoed my support. Thank you.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we will continue going in the right direction in this committee, sir. Come back, Mr. Ritter, please. Any other proponent testimony? Any other proponent testimony? Seeing none, any opponent testimony? Any opponent testimony? Seeing none, I'll open it up for questions from the committee to either of our previous testifiers, Dr. Oda Coven. No questions? I don't believe we have any questions. I would entertain action or committee discussion on this. Representative Kopp.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that any time we can get rid of copious and cumbersome bills and things that we have on the books, I think it's incumbent upon us to clean up as much as we can. And I think this is a good bill, and I would move to pass.
Sorry, hope. You cannot preface motion with comment. I was just for a little. I was called out twice in judiciary by Chairman Joni Cutler. I'll never ever do that again,
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Just a second,
okay.
Representative Olson.
I, too, agree with the cleanup, and I won't move due pass after saying that.
just one moment. Representative Kopp, I didn't enjoy doing that, but I do remember very well my own lesson, so it probably is a good one. Anyway, anyone else have any comments before we get into any comments or if motions?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Kamak.
I do not have a comment. And I do have a motion do pass.
Thank you very much. Do we have a second on that motion by Representative Kamak to do pass on 1058?
Second.
Second. Representative Shane Fish? Nope. Representative Qualm? Thank you. We have a motion made by Representative Kamak, second by Representative Qualm. The Secretary will take the roll.
Representative Bartling?
Aye.
Kamak?
Aye.
Craig?
Aye.
Hikert?
Aye.
Kopp?
Aye.
May?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Otten?
Aye.
Qualm?
Aye.
Shanefish?
Aye.
Shrimp?
Aye.
Schaefer?
Aye.
Hoffman?
Aye.
Mr. Chair, there are 13 ayes.
13.
Move consent.
Second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Move consent. Any objections? This bill will go to the floor with consent, and if anyone would like to explain this in the caucus, I'll take it in our caucus if anyone has any questions. I don't believe anyone will. So that takes care of our schedule this morning. Thank you very much. Stick around, though. We've got two gentlemen here, and this is a little bit out of order, but I'm going to allow it because they drive a long way to get here, and our House Bill 1003 could be some division, some decisiveness has to come from it. But I'll let the – this is all just proponent, or opponent, whatever you'd like to do. Gentlemen, the floor is yours to come. We'll give 5 minutes apiece. We don't – we've only been here for 45 minutes, so five or ten, I'll allow you that. Introduce yourself. And
hi, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. My name's Tim Brown. I'm from Buffalo, South Dakota.
Are you a proponent of...
I am a proponent.
Thank you very much.
I think this mediation bill would be a very good tool for us. We're right now in a process where if the oil companies or mineral companies decide to come in and do some work on our land, we have no rights. Or we always are on a standoff on how much it's worth, how much the land is worth, and there is no recourse, nobody to help us out except for the courts. So this would be very helpful for us to have a mediation to go forth. Also, it would be very helpful if the timeline would stay in that bill so we don't drag this out. At this previous time, the law allows negotiations, and those negotiations can go on for years, and they can continue drilling. So if we could have a timeline remain in place would be very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Other proponent, I assume?
Yes.
Testimony?
Good morning. David Nemi from Harding County. I'm proponent for this bill.
Good morning.
2013 will mark roughly about 60 years that we've seen oil production in the state of South Dakota. I have lived next to that my entire lifetime, and I have seen the good companies, companies that have been real good to deal with, very good to work with. But I've also seen the dark side of it, and the very dark side. Companies that do not provide any notices, come in and just set up a drill pad, start drilling, do development, and you just come out and find them in your pasture. And no negotiation, no landmen, no notices, no nothing. And this would be a good step forward to at least get those folks to the table and be able to discuss some of the issues and maybe come to some resolution on it. This would be very helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for coming and testifying before this. We will remember to go back onto your testimony when we do have this bill on Thursday, 1003. With that, I think we have just one bill on Thursday, and we've got the Department of Ag and the DENR coming to give their presentations. Any other discussion at this moment from the committee? Anything else you can think of? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So
motion by Representative Feikert, second by Representative Olson. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Same sign, motion carried. Thank you very much.